One of my favorite shows that I am watching right now is this one. All Creatures Great and Small. Any fans? No one except Jenny. Y'all really need to go on LPB on Sunday evenings about, I don't think you'll probably want to watch it. Well, I don't know. Super Bowl should be over by 8. To see the show. It is an amazing show based on the book, All Creatures Great and Small, written by James Herriot. And it's a fascinating show. It's one of those, you know, feel good. There's not any, you know, violence or foul language or anything like that. It's just it's a really good show based on a true story. In this last episode, and I'm not going to spoil it for you because there are like 4 seasons, and since you've never seen it, you really need to start from the beginning. James Herriot, he's a veterinarian, and he's in England, and he is being called up to go to war. This is during World War II, and so he has almost a brand new wife. I mean, they've been married, I don't know, a year and a half or so. And they've just learned that they're going to have a child. And the timing of this letter for him to go to war really comes at a bad time. And one of the things at the very end of the show, just this classic soldier getting on a bus. And as he's getting on the bus, not knowing if he'll even make it back, he looks back at his wife. I wish I could have found a picture. I did get one of his colleague, the other veterinarian, shaking hands. But as you look at this, you would see him looking back at his wife, his pregnant wife, and just getting that one last look. And you've probably seen images of scenes like that, a soldier going off to war, looking back at a husband or looking back at a wife, and you know, just that final last look to take in that person and to look at them closely. Well, this morning, the disciples had kind of a similar situation as they are looking at Jesus in a particular way. And this would be the last time they would see him in this kind of setting before Jesus goes on with his mission. He's got to carry out his mission in the world. And on this last Sunday after Epiphany, this is Transfiguration Sunday, which is why the colors are white and not green this morning, because it's a glorious thing to think about Jesus being transfigured and changed and being recognized by God the Father in heaven. And it is this time that he is getting ready to start moving to Jerusalem. And of course, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. So we begin a long journey of around 40 days to get us to Easter. There's a lot of ground that we have to travel. And the disciples had a lot of ground they had to travel with Jesus as they would go on to Jerusalem. And so as they looked at Jesus up on that mountain that day, I think there are some things that they saw that we need to see today as we get ready to enter into this new season, into this season of Lent and preparation for what comes next. The first thing that I would say that I have seen here, and I tried to get all 3 of them to end sounding the same way. It's just my gift of alliteration to all of you this morning. The first one is he is celestial, that Jesus is celestial, that he is belonging to heaven. And that's what they see. They look and, you know, they've been worn out. They've been traveling with Jesus and they're at the bottom of this mountain. And Jesus says, come on, James, Peter, and John, I want you to go with me up to the top of the mountain. And so he leaves the other disciples at the base of the mountain and he heads on up. And as they get there, I'm sure they have a nice view looking around. But even better than that, what happens next is even more beautiful. As Jesus is changed in front of them, Jesus is transfigured and his clothes become dazzling white. It's like this great light from heaven is shining on Jesus. And they're able to see him this way. And they've not seen him this way before. They've just known him as this Jesus, this one who has loved them more than anybody else has ever loved them. They have seen heavenly qualities in him. They've even attributed him to be the Messiah, the Son of God, especially Peter. But now they're seeing something even beyond Jesus in human skin. They are seeing the divinity of Christ, that he does indeed belong to heaven. And then they hear. So it's not just an epiphany of seeing, they are hearing this voice of God. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. As he goes on to Jerusalem, pay close attention to everything he says, everything he does. Jesus being fully divine and yet fully human, right there on top of that mountain. I wonder, are you seeing Jesus in that way? Are you seeing Jesus as belonging to heaven? Or are you just seeing him as another human who walked this earth? Throughout this season of Epiphany, we've had several different epiphanies that have been discovered for us in Scripture, right? We've talked about a lot of different things, Jesus healing people who didn't agree with Jesus, seeing some things about Jesus, people in his hometown, hearing his first sermon and thinking, wow, this is different. This is something that God is showing us. Some of them, of course, didn't think that. They didn't like what they saw. But all of these epiphanies, and I wonder for us, throughout this time since Christmas and even during Christmas, have we really understood Jesus as God and man? We've talked a lot during the holidays about Jesus being incarnate, that he took on human flesh, but now we have the opportunity to see Jesus as divine as well. Well, also, we would need to see Jesus as central. So see where I'm going with these ALs? He is celestial. He's also central. So one of the things that the disciples see is right there on top of the mountain, as you can see there off to the left, you see Moses, right? Moses representing what? The law. As God gives him these 10 words, these commandments, this law that the Israelites were to follow. But on the other side is Elijah. And Elijah represents prophecy. And so Jesus is talking to them. I'm sure that James, Peter, and John thought, did we eat some mushrooms on the way up to the mountain? What's going on here? And they're able to see Moses and Elijah, and they see them talking, and Jesus is right there in the middle of them. And as if Jesus is fulfilling the law and the prophecy, bringing those two things together, making it all come together as God intended, with this special revelation of Jesus. We don't see the Shekinah glory, coming off of Moses. You do see a little halo up there. And Elijah. I mean, they're important. These are the two most important people that Peter, James, and John know of. But Jesus, there is this celestial light that is coming upon him. And so God wanted them, but certainly Jesus, to understand how central he was to God's plan. I wonder this morning, are you finding Jesus to be central in your life? As you look back at this past week, as you look back at the past year, do you see Jesus as being central in your life? Our confirmation service was so incredible. Just to have 31 being confirmed and one being received into the Episcopal Church. And for those of you who made that commitment, it's just amazing. And what you were saying was, Jesus is central in my life. In a new kind of way, as I'm taking this new step, as I'm becoming a part of the Episcopal Church. Jesus is central. What about at work? What about at home? What about when you go to school? What about in your neighborhood, in your city, in this neighborhood? Is Jesus central for you? Well, also, Jesus is missional. I had to work hard to get these all to kind of rhyme up. He is central. He is celestial. He is missional. And that's a word we use a lot here in our church. We're always, really from day one, we have said we want to be a missional church because that's what God said we ought to be, right? And that's what Jesus brought into being, was a church that would be sent. And that's the best description of missional, is someone who has been sent on a mission. And so if you'll look here, Jesus doesn't stay up there, right? Jesus comes down from the mountain, even though Peter's like, hey, let's put up some dwellings up here. This is a really cool place for us to dwell. And Jesus says, we've got to go back down the mountain because I have a mission. I've got something for us to do. And you guys are going to come with me. And we're going to go back down there into the just the nastiness of humanity and all of the oppression. And of course, Jesus thinking of all the things that are getting ready to happen to him as he goes on to Jerusalem. That it's not going to be a pretty scene. As he goes into the streets of the city. And yet he goes. And we are to be the same way, right? Not so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. We are to recognize that God has called us to be a part of bringing heaven to earth. And as Jesus said to his disciples after he resurrected from the dead, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And John says he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, commissioning them to go. And we are to be missional as well. We are Peter, James, and John getting right behind Jesus, going into the world that is so in need of the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the things that you'll see there as an insert in your bulletin is something that we're doing this month for Black History Month. And we're emphasizing a different black, really hero of the Episcopal faith. We did Absalom Jones this past week, Pauli Murray. And I hope that you'll take this home with you and you'll read a little bit about Pauli Murray. And you can see there just about her being the first female priest and certainly the first black female priest. And this story is amazing just about what she did as a lawyer, but then later being called as a priest. And she grew up in the Episcopal Church and she had this sense of calling in her life. And one of the things I found a quote from her that was kind of about her ordination and kind of like Paul's, where Saul became Paul. Pauli says, all of the strands of my life came together, descendant of slavery and a slave owner. I had already been called poet, lawyer, teacher, and friend. Now, Pauli said, I was empowered to minister the sacrament of one in whom there is no north or south, no black or white, no male or female, only the spirit of love and reconciliation, drawing us all towards the goal of human wholeness. She lived an incredible life, dedicating her life to racial reconciliation, racial justice, and gave her life for that. She saw something in Jesus that was indeed celestial, that was indeed central to her faith and to her life, and who was also sending her on a mission. So as we enter into this time of Lent, may we take a look at Jesus, this one last look before Lent. May we get refreshed by what we see. And may we keep on walking with him. Amen.